less number of parashiyot in Torah, because usually we don't get a chance to really study them, and over the last few years we've tried to do precisely that. Kitavo Nitzodim Vayela Hazinu Zot HaBracha, get lost in the Yom and the Rayim, Rosh Hashanah, and Kippur and Sukkot. So that's why we try to deal with these parashiyot, and also in a sense see how they are related to the Yom and the Rayim. And they certainly are. I'm going to focus in on one pasuk. The whole shiur is going to be on one pasuk. But we'll just have to spend a few minutes until we get to that pasuk. On the sheet that you have in front of you, you have from Shvi'i to the end of Parashat Ki Tavo. Parashat Ki Tavo, the second set of curses, the Tochacha. Moshe Rabbeinu admonishing the Jewish people. It's a very, very difficult parasha to study. Extremely difficult. Frightening, terrifying. And then when it's all over, Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael vayomer aleihem, Moshe called to all of Israel and he said to them, Atem ki'item, you have seen a kosher, also Hashem le'nechem v'eretz Mitzrayim. He's reminding them of 40 years. There's so much that you saw with your eyes. Atem ki'item, you saw a kosher, also Hashem le'nechem v'eretz Mitzrayim, what God did to Paro, to all of his servants, he's reminding them of events that took place 40 years earlier. And now we're talking, it's to the end. The 40 years are coming to an end. Jews are already encamped on the plains of Moab, and they're ready to cross the Jordan into Eretz Israel. So he reminds them now of, we've traveled a long distance. There's a great deal that we have experienced together. The great miracles that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, those great ones. And here comes the pasuk. God did not give you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, ad hayom hazeh. What does that mean? I mean, God didn't give you heart, eyes, ears until today. Don't we have free will? Don't we have choice? We need God to give us heart and eyes and ears. Aren't we the ones that are supposed to be able to use that which God gave us? We seem to be... Moshe seems to be blaming it on God. You know, it's all his fault. If you didn't really understand, if you didn't fully grasp the great events of the last 40 years, don't blame yourself. You should know, lo natan Hashem lachem. God didn't give you the means with which to comprehend until today. I mean, it's very difficult to say that that's what the pasuk means. Well, what indeed does this pasuk mean? Let's learn another few psukim and then we'll get back. V'alechet chamar bohem shalma bibor, I led you for 40 years through the desert. Lo bolu salmo techem me'alechem, your clothing didn't wear out from upon you. V'nar chalo bota bolta me'alaglecha, your shoes didn't wear out from upon your feet. Lechem lo achaltem, you didn't eat bread. V'yayin m'shecha lo shetitem, wine and intoxicating beverages you didn't drink. You were living on spiritual food, the man. Leman teidu, and the purpose of this whole journey was so that you should know ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, that I am God your God. Atovo al hamakom hazeh, you finally have come to this place. And here it is. By this place he means the larger other side of the Jordan. Vayetzei Sichon melech Cheshbon, Sichon, the king of Cheshbon, went out against you, and Og, the king of Bashan, Likratenu la Milchama, they came out toward us to war, v'amakein, and we smote them. Vanikachatatzom, we took their land, vanitnolinachala, and we gave it as an inheritance to the Ruveni, the Gadi, and half tribe of Menashe. Ushmartem et divrei habrit hazot. And now you should keep the words of this covenant in Parshat Nitzavim that comes immediately afterwards. Atem Nitzavim, Ayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. You're all standing before God. You're old, you're young, you're leaders, the heads of your tribes. From the wood chopper to the water fetcher, in Parshat Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to create a new covenant, a new brit between God and the Jewish people. The first brit, the first covenant was at Sinai, and 40 years later at Arvot Moav on the plains of Moab. You should keep the words of this covenant, v'asitam otam, and do them, l'man taskil v'atsholach v'kol asher ta'asu, so that you should succeed in whatever you do. So here it is, after the terrible curses, in a sense he says we are now entering into a new covenant. But we're going to focus back again on that pasuk. Pasuk Gimel, v'lo natan Hashem lachem, Lev Ladat, God didn't give you the heart to know, the eyes to see, the ears to hear until today. Why are we blaming it on him? I want to read there are two sections here from the Abarbanel. One is where the Abarbanel asks the question, and then his answer, but there are going to be a number of answers or a number of ways to understand this passage. Number one, you may have difficulty, I'll read it for you, but HaPosuk HaZeh Yodeh, this pasuk indicates Shehameni, the rebelliousness, Asher Livo Otam Ad Hayom, Hayom Mesudor U'Mesuvav Mi'Ito Yidbarach. It seems to be that their rebelliousness throughout the 40 years in the desert was organized and arranged by God. Because would God have given them a heart to know earlier, there wouldn't have been any problem. It's because he didn't give them the heart to know. Ve'eino ken, it can't be that that's what the pasuk means. Ki, because the Gemara says, famous Gemara, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz mirat shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for fear of heaven. If we would be robots and depending completely on God to make us understand or to give us or to assist us or to permit us, then you can forget it all. Torah is over. All of Torah depends on the idea that we have free will. So what do you mean? No, lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladat. So the Abarbanel was asking, what does this mean? Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven itself. In a certain sense, you could explain the passage by saying that ultimately God is the first cause of everything. If we have intelligence, it's because God imbued us with that intelligence. But despite that, it's in the hands of man, and it's his choice to know the Blessed One God and to listen to his voice. The pasuk had said earlier, you have seen to know, God is God, there is none aside from him. From the heavens you heard his voice. And here upon the face of this earth, he showed you his great fire. You heard God speaking to you at Sinai from the fires itself. So what does it mean? 40 years later, Moshe is saying, you don't know anything, but it said earlier that you do know. How can Moshe say, how can Moshe say, God has not given you a heart to know and ears to hear? There's one approach by Rabbi David Hoffman that I want to, who was one of the great Talmidei Chacham of Germany, the last century, that I want to just elaborate on slightly. And what he seems to be saying is that this pasuk is coming to explain why we need a new covenant. There was already a covenant God and the Jewish people entered into a treaty at Sinai. Why we need a second treaty on the plains of Moab. So he says the following. All the signs and the miracles didn't really bring the Jewish people to a full appreciation and an understanding of God. You know what did it? What did it was 40 years of education in the desert. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you saw all of the great miracles. You saw it all. But you know what? That didn't really make the dramatic change in you. You know what made all the difference? 40 years of the study of Torah. 40 years of education. The ongoing miracles that took place. I believe what he's saying is the following. We are more moved by something that comes from within us than by a stimulus from without. The Rambam expresses this in the following way, in a completely different context. It's a famous Rambam where the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu, our great Rebbe Moshe, Lohem Minupo, Jews did not believe in him because of the signs and the miracles and the wonders that he did. Shekol Hamamin Biosos, because whoever believes in signs and miracles, Yesh Belipo Dofi, in his heart, there remains some little doubt. Did I really see it? Did I really see it? Is that really what happened? And even if I feel that that's really what happened, isn't there a period of time passes and the great impact that the miracle made on you begins to wane? You're not so excited or moved by it. Do you know what ultimately makes the difference to man? The effort that he puts in himself to educate himself. Not the outside stimulus, but the stimuli that comes from within. We're not, somebody can show you something. Somebody can demonstrate something to you. And the demonstration can be an absolutely amazing one. You're not fully going to understand it until you can do it yourself. You do it yourself over and over again. I can't help it, one of the examples, but it's an example for anything. Somebody can show you how to do something very complicated on a computer. You won't know a thing. You won't know a thing until you do it yourself, until you make a few mistakes, and until you get all aggravated. Yes.
Could you review the time frame of the people who died? I'm a little confused, but I think that the generation died, and these are all these new people who had the 40 years to learn. And fine, but I'm not so clear
about
who
died. The new people are not so new. And I'll tell you why they're not so new. Because anybody who was up to age 20, 19 and a half, when they left Egypt, is still alive at the end of the 40 years. He can be talking to 500,000 people who were there in Mitzrayim 40 years ago. That's who died, those between age 40 and 20 and 60. And you know, I'm surprised at you. What about the women?
Uh-huh.
They did not make the terrible, tragic mistake of the spies. I tell you, sometimes I feel
there are a lot of
bad if there are a lot of old women.
I missed some. And by the way, yes?
It was read in the form of a question mark at the end. And you didn't see low buttons. And you didn't see this.
You're saying good. We'll get to you in a moment. We'll get to what you're saying right away. I'll tell you. You're not going to miss anything. And you should know, by the way, parenthetically, I can't help but comment. My wife and I shouldn't go to pizza parlors. We went last night to have a late pizza. And it always happens. It always happens. So I'm sitting with some young man who's learning in New York, a Israeli boy, and I tell him, I got sick. I guess, what's he doing there? What do you say? It's better there. Life is a kef over there. This, live here, Eretz Ochelet Yosheh, he says to me. I said, I don't understand you saying the same words that the Meraglim said. We're suffering from it for 3,500 years. So they used to help you. So I told him something that I don't believe he was aware of. Just remember the night of Kol Nidrei. After we say Kol Nidrei, one of the psukim we say is Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kivorecha. God said, I have forgiven. Do you know where the word Salachti Kivorecha, that pasuk, comes from? That's the note. Everybody thinks it's the Eidel. It's after the Meraglim. When Moshe Rabbeinu prays to the Jewish people, then the pasuk says, "Vayom Hashem Salachti Kivorecha." You know what it means? We need forgiveness and atonement for that chet. So here it is, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, you've had all this great experience. So Rav David Hoffman is saying, the way I understand him, what he's saying is that what you learn from others, or what is demonstrated, or what is shown to you, just doesn't have the impact that the effort you put in and you sit down to learn a pasuk chumash, a parasha of the Torah, you put in your own effort. That makes it yours forever and ever. So therefore, he says, after all these 40 years, it's v'lo kan Hashem lachem leiv l'dat v'einayim. You weren't able to fully appreciate whatever you saw in Egypt. You weren't able to appreciate it until now. You needed 40 years of education in order to appreciate it. And we continued that education year after year, yantif after yantif, zeicher liyetziat Mitzrayim, zeicher liyetziat Mitzrayim. What we have to do is continually relive, re-experience, and we have to internalize that great experience. What does the Abarbanel say? I always warn you, see a long Abarbanel, don't get scared. Don't get scared. Most of the things we worry about never really happen. So don't worry about going through an Abarbanel. Hochiach, number two, Hochiach Moshe, Otam Miriam Vaholam. Moshe is admonishing them about their rebelliousness and their sins. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, you saw so much. You experienced so much. And it didn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference. You're going to have to be educated for a lifetime throughout all of history. Even though they were intelligent people, She wasn't able to the first class. My wife has suggested anybody whose cell phone goes off gives a 100 shekel donation to the Arm and Silver College for Jewish Education. That was very good. It means only somebody wasn't here the first class. But everybody else, you're all good. Hashem natan lachem leiv ladad. V'zeru shomar. Atem deitem. Now he explains the psukim. You've seen the Torah with Hashem Hashem leketel leinechem. You saw everything that God did before your eyes in the land of Egypt. What he means, Shehim Siku, they were able to grasp the Nisim and the Niflot, Shenasu with Mitzrayim, Laktanim and Makatolim, from Paro till the lowliest slave, Mibachor Paro, Ayoshra, Kisar, Bechor Hashevi, from the highest to the lowest to the highest, Leparo, Ulechal Achoda, Ulechal Arso. That's what the Pasuk says here. Whatever happened to Paro and all of his servants and all of his land. He begins with the highest, Mehamelech, for her and Said, the middle of the servants, and then the bottom, ultimately the land. And now he explains to them what it all was. These were the Masot HaGdolot Asher Ro'u Nefer, the great miracles that your eyes saw. They are the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues, and the Ototum of Tim. That tells us about crossing the Yamsuf, the wall with Amalek, Torah given at Sinai, and all the other miracles that took place during these 40 years. He What Moshe, by repeating all of this in a matter of 2-3 psukim, he really encapsulates for them the whole history of 40 years, an unbelievable, amazing history. He Shenishlamu. That they have become a complete people. The experience has stood them in good stead. It's something that was good for them. Shenishlamu Yisrael b'muchashot ha-niflaot. Israel became complete through those unbelievable experiences. Kedei shemehem yishtalmu be'emunotem. The purpose of all of them was that their faith should become strong. That was the purpose of it all. Ulefi shelo yomru, shelo hila lahem ha'asog ha'chushit ha'mufloa ahi, lefi shehem atzvam hayu chasvei hadad. And if for any reason they may not have had the great impact of all of these events, and that something is lacking in them, lefi shehem atzvam hayu chasvei hadad, Ubilti shlemei hayitzidah muskalot, they were not complete in their intellect. V'sha'al kach lo ho'il lahem ha'limud amul kashahu, and therefore they didn't learn anything from all of those 40 years. Therefore, he says to them, V'lo natan Hashem lachem leiv ladach v'nayim lirot v'aznayim lishmoa ad hayom hazeh. The Abravanel is learning the pasuk. It's a question.
That's what somebody said.
That's what somebody said. The Abarbanel says, what do you want to tell me? Is there anybody who's going to get up and tell me that they didn't learn from all of this? What are you going to tell me? God didn't give you a heart and eyes and ears? You have been the beneficiaries of awesome experiences. The whole problem is, if we read the pasuk as a statement, God didn't give you the heart to hear until today.
Yeah, but it says, Ad
Hayom Hazeh. That's the key. Ad Hayom Hazeh, because the same thing that's happening to us right now is a miracle, and we don't learn from it.
You're fine for that. No, our problem over here is, how can you say God didn't give? Everybody has a lathe, that a heart that understands, and ears that hear, and eyes that see. The Ad Hayom Hazeh we're going to deal with yet. Wait, we're not finished with the Ad Hayom Hazeh. By the way, my own pshat in Arayamazah, I can let you into Arayamazah. Because the word Hayom is going to be used immediately at the beginning of the next Sedra, Aten Nitzavim Hayom of Kulchem. You're all standing here today. And you know what Chachmei HaKabbalah say? Hayom? Zed Rosh Hashanah. By Rosh Hashanah, you'll all stand up before Melech, Malchei HaMelachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You had better believe it, that God gave you Lev Ladad, and Oznayim Lishmoah, and Einayim Lirot. No one can stand before God and say, I have all sorts of excuses. Here the Abarbanel is saying, take a look at all these experiences. You're going to tell me they didn't impact on you? This is, of course, different than Rav David Zvi Hafman. Rav David Zvi Hafman was saying that, you know, great experiences don't necessarily impact on people as much as ongoing education. And Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you know, you finally got it now. After 40 years, you finally got it. Unfortunately, there are times that 3,500 years later, you still don't get it. We're in the constant process. We don't always get it. And we have to wonder why we don't get it. Yes?
No, in some ways you can say, if you consider it as a declarative sentence, you know, this is being said so and so, you didn't have the heart. Well, that would almost exonerate Yisrael from having sinned with a meraglim or having sinned with a maseg, because they just didn't have the heart to know and the sense to know.
That's the problem with the pasuk. That's precisely the problem. If this is a statement of fact, then they're not guilty of everything that they were accused of. They didn't have the heart to know. They didn't have the intelligence. So the Abarbanel is saying, these are intelligent people. Make no mistake. These are intelligent people. These are people who hear. These are people who see. These are people who understand. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to them is, after all that you have gone through in the course of the last 40 years, hasn't He given you the ability to understand and to comprehend? Don't we learn from history? Don't answer that question. Because that's the tragedy. That's the tragedy.
We don't learn from history.
And when we don't learn from history, the great old wisdom that we make the same mistakes over and over again, and it's tragic. We don't have that much leeway to make too many mistakes. We make mistakes. You know me. When I'm back to regular schedule. So that was back to regular schedule. So as usual, I start my day with my daily dose of aggravation. So I read the editorial in Haaretz. It seems there was an interview with Mikis Dimitrios. I must have killed the name. One of the great conductors and musicians of our time, who in an interview with Haaretz over the weekend expressed openly his profound hatred for the Jewish people.
Yeah.
They run the banks, the insurance companies, the government, the whole world is in the hands of the Jews. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. And you know what? Haaretz is surprised. They're sort of taken aback. Here is this great, one of the great musicians of our day, and he's nothing more than a garbage variety anti-Semite, and there are so many all around, and it still comes as a great surprise to them.
Greece.
Dimitrios Sokrates. Anthony Quinn.
Right, it was both.
Oh, but I'll tell you even worse. Right next to it, extremely painful. An article by one of the Kreiser writers over there that you should know. Sal was going to have a difficult time moving those people out. Have a difficult time. They tried to take down three caravans that week and didn't succeed. Don't worry, I'll tell you now, it has caused me such pain and such grief. He says, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to let those settlers stand in our way. It's going to have to come to spilling their blood. I ask you, if I would have said something like that, I would by now be in the Russian compound, you understand? They'd have me on a rack going through Chinese torture. You know what that is? There are some times when you can say, as a statement of fact, V'lona tamashed lachem leiv ladat v'nayim lidot v'znayim lishmoa. And I don't know when the Ad Hayom Hazeh is. There are times that we act as though we simply don't have the basic intelligence. There's some block. There's something there that stands in the way. Now, this was not the planned shear.
That's all right.
But one of the things that I do during the course of the month of Elul, there are a few svarim that I go over during the month of Elul. One is by Rav Soloveitchik, Yemei Zikaron, and then part of Al HaTshuva, if not all of it, if I can make it. And then there's a little sefer by Rav Kook called Orot HaTshuva. Orot HaTshuva, I may get to it, I did it a few years ago, I don't want to make any promises. I took excerpts from Orot HaTshuva, they're paragraphs. And there's one that I read, I don't know why it didn't hit me earlier. He says, when a person sins, for every chait, he begins to hate something in creation. Chait leads to hate. Now, what it may mean is, you know, a little aveirah, maybe a person hates flies, I don't know. A few bigger aveirahs, maybe you start hating human beings. Now, I understand he's approaching it from a metaphysical or a Kabbalistic point of view, that sin causes disharmony in nature. God created a world that it should be good. When man sins, he injects something dysfunctional into nature. Nature is just not the same anymore. And it begins with hate. Hate. It means who knows how many sins it leads. It can lead until one begins to hate the fellow human beings, real hate. How much more hate until one reaches the point where they despise, God forbid, fellow Jew. This is heavy stuff. This is very heavy. It's one sentence in Rav Kook. One sentence in Rav Kook. Yes?
When I heard this originally from someone.
You did?
I heard Rav Kook talking about sin leading to a person developing hate within him. And that's the key. Not that in the big picture, yes, it's out there, but it's internalized within the person where he, when he does his sin, he himself, there's an internal poison that's created within him that creates hate inside him. It's a deterioration of the neshama inside
the person. That's exactly what he's saying. Because this hate is, sin is dysfunctional, and therefore it creates an inner called a disease. It's a poison. It's a disease. It's a disease. Very frightening. Very frightening. But wait. So we have Rabdavid Tzvi Hoffman, who says, God didn't give you the ability to fully comprehend until we completed the 40 years of education. Great experiences alone do not change a human being. I would also say, in addition to what I had said previously to explain the words of Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, I would say the Gemara may mean that when the Gemara says, Ein bal ha-nes makir b'niso. Gemara says, a person to whom, or for whom a miracle is done, doesn't always fully appreciate it, doesn't comprehend it. You don't get it. You take it for granted. And who doesn't remember Six-Day War?
Exactly.
Right. So how long did it take until it was dissipated? There was only one person who tried to retain the sense of wonder and awe. That was Lubavitcher Rebbe. Try to retain that awe. Now already we have, I don't know how many people here who claim that the Six-Day War was the great tragedy of the modern state of Israel. Miracles alone are not enough. You have to be educated and able to understand how to see it, how to assess it, how to comprehend it, how to know what it means. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them at the end of the 40 years. Let's see the Malbim. Number 3. V'lo natan Hashem lechem leiv l'adat peirush k'mo u'ma'amar. It's as though it said the following. V'lo hayo lechem leiv l'adat. You didn't have the heart to know. Now, he really wants to remove Hashem from the pasuk. It doesn't really mean that God didn't give you a heart to understand. The only reason why God is mentioned in the pasuk is, in a sense, because, listen, everything that we have comes from God. If we have intellect, it comes from God. We see it comes from Him. We hear it comes from Him. But it doesn't mean that God didn't give it to you. The pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking in an honorable way about the Jewish people, though, as though he's shifting the blame from them. And the truth is, it's so. Why is he able to say, V'lo natan Hashem lachem leiv l'adat? Why can he say it? Ki hu hachonin l'adam da'at. Because God is the one who graces man with knowledge. And he quotes a pasuk from Daniel, when Daniel is brought before King Nebuchadnezzar to tell him his dream. So Daniel doesn't want that Nebuchadnezzar should think that Daniel himself is so brilliant. So he says, Yohiv chachmul solach hakimen umin deliyadei bina. God is the one who gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who understand. God gives wisdom only to those who put in the effort, those who seek it. And if you haven't been able to understand, you know why you haven't been able to understand? Because he didn't really want to understand. You didn't really want to. Because everything in this world has to begin with an awakening and an arousal that comes from within man. God doesn't give out any presents. Watch what he says. Muvan shalom bikashtem lahavin. It means that you didn't want to understand. Man is able to achieve wisdom in one of three ways. Aleph, when he is awakened and aroused from within so that he should achieve wisdom. Bet, is he when he is aroused by seeing something that is different, then he begins to think. She'yitorera yidei shero bein of dvarim shelo hurgal behem. He's awakened and aroused because he sees something that he's not accustomed to. Oz meisim libo biglal ve'iozul havin. Then he pays attention. It means, of course, seeing the great miracle is not what makes the difference. It's the seeing the miracle is that which now moves me and motivates me to think. But ultimately, it's my thought that's going to make the difference. And the third is, shelo yochem yidat atzmo, that people who don't understand things on their own, dak somech al kabalatome avotav, but it depends, he's ready to accept that which he has received from his fathers. Vezeu shama, and that's what the pasuk says, lev ladat. You didn't have a heart lit orer me'atzmechem, to be aroused and awakened by yourselves. Ve'einayim lirot, and eyes to see, she'it oreru al yidei yediyat einayim. You didn't have what it takes to be aroused by that which you see. She'im atrega lomato mirishona. That's below the previous level. The previous level is the person who on his own just decides, I want to understand, I want to know. The second is the one who cannot do it on his own, but is awakened and aroused, sees something, and that motivates and prompts and pushes him to think. And then the third is, Ba'af gam oznaim lishmor, you didn't have oznaim lishmor, You didn't even depend on that which your fathers did. They taught you so much. You learned about Yetzias Mitzchanim. You saw Yetzias Mitzchanim. In the sense here, Nechama Leibowitz says over here that this whole pasuk, this Moshe Rabbeinu saying, V'lanotam Hashem Lechem Leibowitz, is being said with great pain. The pasuk has to be read with pain. That Moshe Rabbeinu, after all that transpired during the 40 years, he's not really that sure whether he has succeeded. He's not sure at all. Will it last? We're going to see in Hazinu, and even in Yitzhakim Vayelech, we're going to see that when he enters, brings the Jewish people into the new covenant, he says there are going to be those amongst you who are going to want to do whatever you want to do. You're not going to remain faithful. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu in this pasuk is expressing the profound pain and agony of somebody who has dedicated his life to a particular purpose and just isn't sure whether he succeeded. Yes?
Is that how he beats the Kalkafar again?
Is that why he what?
I believe that's for sure. That's why he... That's why there is the great admonishing of Parshat Ki Tavo. He's not sure. Maybe even more than he's not sure. He may know that they are going to steer away from God. Yes.
That's great.
Huh?
I think the whole episode with Midian must have been a terrible joke that after all these 40 years...
After all the 40 years, they end up, yes, at the end of Parshat Balak, that they end up... doing terrible things with the women of Midian and Pa'or. But you see, somehow or other we're going to have to get something has to be said over here. In other words, we may be left with the impression that the 40 years were one big waste, and poor Moshe Rabbeinu, we understand this war, is going to end his life feeling like a terrible failure. The fact is, he's not a failure. And the greatest proof that it's not a failure, we're here. Exactly, we're here. And we're learning Chumash, you understand? And we're not the only ones. hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, or maybe a whole world that has been impacted by Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. But Moshe Rabbeinu understands that history could have been different. It could have been different. Let me take you to one other pshat. And maybe that's really what I wanted to get to all the time. Yes?
I was just wondering, the spiritual journey or the potential for spirituality on an individual level fit into this kind of thinking? Because there may be those that have the potential to see differently.
I hear what you're asking. I believe that we have to believe that everybody has the potential to rise to great spiritual heights. I would have a great view that there may be people for whom it is easier than for others. That's absolutely true. There is a great essay that was written by the Rambam, his introduction to Pirkei Avot, in which he describes two types, two character types. One is called the tzaddik hamu'ule, the perfect tzaddik. He is one who is able to withstand those difficult temptations of all. Not that it's easy for him, but it's built in. He has a proclivity to it. What?
The genes?
I didn't say the word genes. I didn't say the word genes. I don't know anything about Jesus. All I know is that the Rambam says that his example, the Chov uses as an example of the tzaddik hamu'ule, Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzaddik. He was able to live through terrible periods in his life and maintain his equilibrium. Who wouldn't have gone off the deep end? A 17-year-old boy, good-looking boy, ends up in the most immoral of countries in the world, all alone, no family, nothing, set adrift. It's unbelievable. And he maintains a sense of calm. I went to the Menachem Oval. Rabbi Wein, his father died. So he showed me, amongst a number of smichas that his father had, one was a smicha from Rav Kook. The Rav Kook. His father was close to 100 years old. So he had over, right? So he had smicha from Rav Kook, he had from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, a number of others. So he said he once asked his father, what did you see in Rav Kook? What did you see? What was there? So he says, I saw one thing, Shalvat HaNefesh.
Oh, wow.
How will we translate that?
Tranquility.
Tranquility.
Peace of mind.
Serenity.
Serenity.
The whole world around him can be attacking him, can be doing everything. And he remained above the din of battle, because he was above them all. He was above them all. He remained serene. I don't know if you get the, if I'm going to quote a Haaretz, I have to quote a B'Sheva. This week in B'Sheva, I think it was Chagai Segal who wrote, you know, it was the Masada Kedushin by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's wedding? You guessed it, Rav Kook. Do you know it was the Masada Kedushin by Rav Yosef Sholem Eliashiv's wedding? You guessed it, Rav Kook. That there was a sense of serenity, That I would say is what when the Rambam talks about the tzaddik mu'uleh, the absolute epitome of tzaddikus. Then there's a second type. The second character type is hakodesh shesiyitzro, the one who lives a life of struggle, but he is able to conquer his evil inclination. And the Gaon of Soloveitchik said that was Yehuda. The difference between Yehuda and Yosef, Yehuda was tempestuous, tumultuous, if there is such a word. There was constantly an inner struggle going on within him. And Yosef was serenity. But Yehuda achieves Malchus. Malchus, by Klal Yisrael, is Yehuda. Who is the one that paves the way for the Malchus of Yehuda? Yosef is the one. Just as Rachel paves the way for Leah. And so it will be when Mashiach ben Yosef precedes Mashiach ben David. Oh, I'm going far afield now. The Meshech Chachmah. With that, we'll close. Makes two comments. One is the following. I'm not going to read it right now, unless I want to take an excerpt or two. One of the themes that the Meshech Chachmah Rav Meir Simcha develops in his parish in Torah, and has a number of major essays about it, is that one of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned more than anything else, that they should, the Jewish people should never deify him. He was always frightened that they may see him as some kind of a divine creature. And Moshe Rabbeinu is boss of Adam. He's made of flesh and blood. I always promise myself that someday I will take you on a journey through a number of major essays of Rav Meir Simcha, where he says how significant this is to all of Torah, and this of course sets off Judaism from all other religions. There's even a beautiful essay of Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch in Parashat Va'era, before the first miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu performs. They tell us who are the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and all the members of their family. Stops there. There's a census of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Hirsch asks, what's this doing here? What's it doing here? And it stops short. It doesn't go any further. It's strange. Wherever Jews are counted, all 12 tribes, start with Reuven, with Shimon, with Levi. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch says, you know what? Before Moshe Rabbeinu does the first miracle, you should know he has a brother, he has a sister, he has a father, he has a mother, he has uncles, he has cousins, he has pupus, he has zedis. You know what this man who's going to perform all these miracles is? He's Basar Adam. Basar Adam. Very significant to an understanding of all of Torah. And therefore, the Meir Simcha speaks about this. And he says, therefore, that when Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, V'lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladat, God didn't give you a heart to know, or eyes to see, or ears to hear, Ad Hayom Hazeh, the ultimate truth of all of Torah, Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today. What's so unique about today? Today is going to be the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's death. And you know what you're going to see today? That I'm going to go the way of all flesh. And I was not a god. I'm not a deity in any way, shape, or form. I'm a boss of a dumb, and all I did in my lifetime was I transmitted to you faithfully everything that God had given me. Today you're going to see it. If there's anybody who has any doubt and may think that Moshe Rabbeinu was some kind of a divine character, not so. Not so. Today, I'm a human being like each and every one of you. I'm no different than anybody else. And therefore, that all of my message was, I was acting on behalf of the Rebbeinu. And then he makes a second comment, and it's much more than a comment. It becomes fundamental to our whole understanding of Yiddishkeit. V'lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladad, God didn't give that to you until this day. Because what's happening now is there's going to be a dramatic change in all of Jewish history. The dramatic change is going to be the following. For 40 years you've been living miracles. That's not what God wants. The 40 years of living miracles were in order to train you for the great test. You know what the test is? You're going to cross the Yarden, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to plant, you're going to have to plow, you're going to have to live normal lives, bederech ha-teva, and realize that it's all miracles. That's the big test. Lo natan Hashem lachem, the heart and the eyes and the ears that you have, do you know when you're going to put them to work? Do you know when they're going to have to start functioning really? You didn't really need Lev Ladat for the last 40 years. What did you need? What are you talking about? Your whole life was a miracle. You got up in the morning, you went out, you got mud. Well, water was rolling around over there coming out of a rock. What are you talking about? There were the clouds of glory. That wasn't real life. Real life is a life that we live when we have to make decisions, where we have to act, where we have to be, in a sense, the masters of our own destiny. And never, ever lose sight for a moment and think that we are the ones that are doing it all.
Oh,
here we're going to have to use our heads, our eyes, and our ears to realize that despite the fact that we seem to be living a normal existence, if you can ever call Jewish existence a normal one, that's the big test. V'lom natam Hashem lechem, God didn't give you lev l'dat v'aznayim l'shma v'inayim l'rot avayim azeh. Now, the big change. You're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, now you're going to have to be living real life. Up until now, it was preparation, it was playing. Real life is when you go through a normal day with all of its pain and all of its problems and all of its difficulties, and you're able to maintain the equilibrium that a fully yid is supposed to maintain. An understanding that life has to be lived as a life of shmiras, Torah, u'mitzvahs. That's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's a rededication to the idea that we can live, call it normal lives, normal yet holy. Normal yet holy. That's what it's all about. And that, he tells them, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them now, it's all going to change. Now you're going to be put to the test. And when, throughout history, there are those who will fail the test miserably, and there are those who are going to pass the test with flying colors. And most probably, when we make the ultimate accounting in all of history, the decision will be taken on high that we have passed the test with flying colors. If 3,500 years later, we're still aggravating the kishkes out of the goyim, we have succeeded. We have succeeded. That's where we are. And their hatred, I believe, the hatred, we said, first of all, comes from sin, and second, they're afraid of us. They're afraid of us. Because we're divine people. They can't get rid of us. They can't get rid of us. Big thing.
This was great.
Let me remind you, everybody, Rabbi Gordon tomorrow and Rabbi Stuart Weiss. It's going to be a great morning tomorrow morning. All right, one.